freaking go. We have a South Alabama preview for you. We're going to dive deep into the film. Yes, their best player's name is Fluff, and I understand you want to make fun of it, but you know who else's name was Fluff? Tiger Woods' caddy. It doesn't mean that Fluff can't bite our heads off this weekend, as have all the other offenses up to this point in the season, of course, outside of a few of our really, really good defensive players. So we're going to talk about that also a little bit later. Who's going to win, Georgia or Alabama? I have a take that will make you think I'm a 75-year-old curmudgeon. It's going down, baby, on PHLI on the NoOffseason.com network. Let's go!
It's Power Hour LSU.
PHL, extra little bit of swag, an extra little bit of taste.
Yeah. Man, I'm headed to the field. Terror of the tiger, I'ma always keep it real. Every team gon' get the power, it's the power. LSU with Carter, it's the power. LSU with Carter, man, I'm headed to the field. Terror of the tiger, I'ma always keep it real. Every team gon' get the power, it's the power. LSU with Carter, it's the power.
LSU with Carter, man. LSU fans, you better be ready. Gio Lopez, number 7, the quarterback. Fluff Bothwell is the running back, number 24. Number 3 is also a really good backup. His name slips my mind as South Alabama is coming to Tiger Stadium. And their quarterback, of course, from Baton Rouge, or their head coach, excuse me, from Baton Rouge. He was a quarterback at Texas. His name is Major Applewhite. So we're going to give you a full breakdown, plus here in about 10 minutes, a film study preview of what makes Fluff as a true freshman so freaking fun. Now, I want to start off by saying the following. I want the LSU defense to play smart versus South Alabama. I just want this to be clear as well. It's a lot harder to play defense at the collegiate level than what it used to be. I understand that we love yesteryear and 2003 LSU defense and the 2011 LSU defense. And I really do think if you put those athletes on the field now, they would be 10 times better than the defense that we have. So I don't think it has anything to do with athleticism when it comes to deciding if, like, Chad Lavallee and those guys could play now, because they could. What I will say, though, about those defenses is they did not play offenses as complex as offenses are now in collegiate football. And also, college football just wasn't complex in general, right? Every one of these kids have played millions upon millions upon millions of snaps of 7-on-7 football, right? So the offensive players are so skilled now, and you really don't see elite defensive players until you actually get to the NFL. That's why NFL teams have struggled to score so much. So when you play these smaller school teams, you'll get a team like Nichols that has a Guggenheim at running back. You'll get a team like South Alabama that has a Fluff Bothwell, guys that have a somewhat decent shot of playing in the league or playing at a huge Division I Power 5 school the very next season. Fluff is definitely better than Guggenheim, in my humble opinion, who, of course, ran all over us, some of which was in the Wildcat. And one other reason why Fluff is going to be a better running back for us to stop is because of Gio Lopez. But going back to the offensive complexity stuff, there is so much more information you have to process now defensively. I'm not going to say, though, it's like too complex for the LSU defense to figure out. Now, you notice, and I have kept this to myself because I have been accused with some of the film study stuff, hey, Carter, you're giving too much information for the other team. And I also saw a Florida State film study analyst who goes far more detailed than I do. He knows more about film breakdowns than I do. I would like to think minds are very good, but I saw him getting accused of this. And y'all, if it takes like a random YouTuber's film breakdowns to help the other team win, then it should be alarming that that's what it takes, if that makes sense, right? Like, for instance, I kept this very simple thing to myself, but it became too blatantly obvious in the UCLA game. We cannot stop pre-snap motion. We, for whatever reason, can't do it. I don't know why it's the case, but now it's not a secret. I've spoken to multiple staffers across the SEC, and they have seen it. Like, I mean, it's just obvious. Like, it's not anything that, like, the normal fan can't figure out, right? I think some of you who might not be X's and OE could kind of figure out, hey, when the other team decides to motion somebody pre-snap, we can't stop them. When they are static, we have better opportunities to stop them. So why is that important? Well, what pre-snap motion does is it makes the defense do two things. It can force a defense to declare what type of coverage they're playing, right? It's a good man-to-zone indicator. That's the biggest reason and the biggest benefit of pre-snap motion. But what LSU has not done a good job of, and Brian Kelly references in Monday's press conference, we have not done a good job of passing assignments off. Because what happens with the pre-snap motion is if you are calling a blitz in the direction of it, your assignments can change, right? If you're the contained guy, you are responsible for a running back who might motion over to your side. And you have to have the information to process through your brain that that is your new assignment. Now, once again, it is very difficult. In particular, it is very difficult to do this in 100-degree heat like LSU was having to deal with last week. But I will tell you this. Even though I said what I said about offenses being complex and all of that mumbo jumbo, the 2011 LSU defense would have figured this out. The great 2016 LSU defense would have figured this out. Obviously, the great 2013 LSU defense would have already crushed your skull on first and second down. You would have punted on third down. That's how great that defense was in their heyday. So what does that mean exactly? Well, our defense up to this point in the season has not played smart, okay? Whether it comes to adjusting to motions and stuff like that, whether it also comes to things like figuring out coverage changes and stuff like that, adjustments. Also, when it comes to the individual time for you to step up and make a play, perfect example, we don't want to fly in out of control. Whatever it's time to make an open field tackle, we just want to make sure we bring them down. Okay? So, fluff is the stuff we saw out of Gabe. We saw out of Spectrum. We saw out to Jay Smacks. And now, like we said before today's show, we're going to go ahead and show you a little bit of film study. Let's go. A lot of you have heard me talk about that. Pre-snap motion and, of course, play action fakes, right? So you get to the second and nine. Everybody thinks you're just going to run this football here with Bothwell. Instead, it's a tight end leak over the middle. Tennessee runs this play more than basically everyone, and it's a wide open touchdown often, okay? Alrighty, so South Alabama's receivers are pretty good. Bullock is our other running back, number three, and this is actually Bothwell, 24. I think I misidentified him a minute ago. Once again, pre-snap motion, some tight ends mixed in here as well. You can see up front, they're not the absolute biggest, but as you guys know, we have not been able to deal with the pre-snap motion at all. And remember, zone read pulls forces this backside defensive end to not be as involved with the play. This is a really good job by this tight end getting this guy sealed to the inside, and you're pulling guys around. This is what we have attempted to do with our running game, and we cannot execute it for whatever reason. But other teams have been able to do it. That's why Joe Sohn keeps trying to run this stuff. And here you go. Bothwell, wide open alley for him to run through. This is a tank of a human being. And now all he's got to do is make the safety miss. And he does. Okay? These are big dudes at quarterback and at running back. All right, and here we go again. Pre-snap motion. They like to run this to the right side. Look at their offensive line caving in this defensive line. Second level block by the tight end. Y'all, this is teach tape. You cannot execute any of this any better. So when I've watched Bothwell, it has been a lot of really well-executed blocks. So I don't really know how good he is, but he's pretty good. And you'll see it a little bit better here, okay? Look at this end just completely get washed out of the play. Second level block, and you can't really do it much better than that, y'all. So that should concern you, okay? I am also a little concerned about some new linebackers stepping in. Now, here's something that I will say, and it can get misconstrued, and it can be very, very negative. Understand that when I say this, this is nothing personal, okay? Nothing. I don't want anyone to take this the wrong way, okay? We talk a lot about the physical limitations of this LSU defense. I don't know if the LSU defense, though, is physically limited, okay? This gets down into the mental, okay? Now, understand, I am not calling anyone dumb because sometimes people will take that the wrong way, all right? I will tell you this, though. If you go back and you watch the great LSU defenses, they were so damn smart. Like, you rarely, rarely saw busted assignments, okay? You rarely saw people running wild out of control when to go make a tackle. And if you actually have watched this team, which a lot of you have it, a lot of you are super diehard LSU football fans. You love this team as much as I love this team. You know that a lot of the issues, and we can pile on that house all we want, pile on new coaches, young coaches that may not be ready for the position coach role, whatever the case may be. Y'all, we have made some boneheaded decisions. Boneheaded decisions. Okay? So, we have to hope that our individual players not only play as a unit, but also themselves understand time and situation. And one thing that is very underrated when it comes to being a defensive player is process of elimination. Okay? We all have to deal with the process of elimination every single day of our lives. Okay? We do it every single day. When you go to a red light, what happens? Well, if you're taking a right turn, you can go, right? But you first have to eliminate the possibility of oncoming traffic. We have to deal with process of elimination every single day. It's hard in football, but a lot of defense is process of elimination, okay? If teams are going to run RPO stuff and it's a bubble screen to the right side, that's a part of the action. When the football is handed off, though, can you eliminate that your assignment no longer is getting the football and you go help and gang tackle the running back who's running in the opposite direction? That's just one specific example of process of elimination, which we broke down on Patreon earlier this week. I would also like to include, that was just a little piece of an extensive South Alabama film preview that is on Patreon. And I do have an offer. The first person to sign up for Patreon tonight, I am covering your first month. I am that confident in the product that I produce. And yes, I know it's behind a paywall. Got to pay a little extra. But you also get Discord benefits. We're also going to be doing live shows for patrons only in our Discord on Wednesday mornings. So go sign up. You get access to our private chat room during games. And you'll get the full South Alabama film study. Obviously, that was just a few plays. I have a few more broken down and a few other things I would like to see the LSU defense do. And I'll cover your first month, the $10. And I send you, every new patron gets a Joe Burrow card in the mail. Or if you prefer Patrick Peterson, I'll send you Patrick Peterson in the mail. We had a new patron this week. Prefer a Patrick Peterson card, I will happily oblige, because he's also my favorite LSU Tiger of all time. So whatever the case may be, I'll send you whichever player you want in the mail. Now, as we always do, first $20 super chat, you get an LSU autograph in the mail. And today, first $20 super chat will get Joe Burrow card autograph in the mail. I'm just kidding. I can't get this one out. I think this is actually the most expensive Burrow auto card that I have in my collection. And for those that know anything about cards, this obviously isn't a higher end piece, still worth a couple hundred bucks. Yeah, I was having kind of a tough day, so I pulled this out because it brings me happiness. But first $20 super chat will give out Trayvon Darrell card. I understand. Drop off from Joe Burrow to Trayvon Darrell. But did you know Trayvon Darrell saved somebody from a car accident? Or it was something like that. I need to go look up the story. Also, I think Trayvon Darrell is a big Popeyes fan. And I think all 75 of you, outside of my wife who normally watches this in the background, she is a pescatarian. I don't know how you could be a pescatarian and be married to me. Okay. But Trayvon Darrell is a huge Popeyes fan. I think I remember that. And it's hard to be a bigger Popeyes fan than me. I don't allow myself to go to Popeyes anymore. Okay. But to end on this thing, I do believe we can be smarter as a defense. And I feel like we struggle with the split second mental decisions. Okay. Here's another example. One guy who is really, 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 really struggled with this is Sage Ryan. All right. He has really had his issues. One example of the season, you are the safety. You are the last line of defense. Sage Ryan has to be one of the worst touchdown saving tackle safeties I have ever seen. And that is the most important role. That is the most important thing you do as a safety. Make the touchdown saving tackle. That is why your name is a safety. So Lenore Sellers, tough tackle in the open field. Not many people are making that tackle. But if you're going to miss a tackle, force him in the direction of where you have help. No, he cuts back into the open field and runs for a touchdown. Okay, let's not do that. And there are lots of examples of this. Even when he's not played safety, when he's played corner, Sage Ryan has a chance to tackle Jalen Milroe before he goes into the end zone. And it's clear Jalen Milroe is running. Sage Ryan looks at Milroe and then looks at the receiver that he was guarding. Why? He's not going to throw it. He's 12 yards past the line of scrimmage because we didn't know what a damn QB spy was. So I think the LSU defense, I really do mean this. I'm not blowing smoke in your direction at all. I think this defense would be better with just slightly better understanding of time and place. Slightly better. Okay. Let's go to Jace Max, who says, I went to high school with Sage at LCA. Lots of great LCA players have come through the ranks. Hopefully, Juwan Johnson will be the GOAT. Shout out Jordan Allen as well. But yeah, it's been average. You know, it's and I like Sage. It's nothing against him, but he objectively has not been good at LSU. I mean, he's had his moments, right? And Major Burns has struggled with this as well. Okay. So that's why there are so many LSU fans in my Discord, in my personal DMs, texts, all that stuff. Spoke to a pretty prominent LSU fan today that has donated a lot of money to the collectives and all of that. And they want to see the young guys. Can Kylan Jackson be someone you can rely on out there? I expect Deshaun Spears to play a lot in the South Alabama game. Okay. Jordan Gilbert is playing better football. A lot better football. So I'm really pumped up about it. I really am. Okay. Now, Gabe says, I live in the sticks. Closest Popeyes is 80 miles away. Let's go to Brian. He says, South Alabama reminds him of Troy. We have a few Troy fans that watch this channel. Shout out to what is his name? I was on his podcast called Tiggs Bits. My guy Brantley's podcast. Come on. He's a big Troy fan. Shout out to him. But yeah, Troy is a sore subject, right? DeMarcus Ware almost came into LSU in Tiger Stadium in the Saban years and almost beat us. And then, of course, we lost to them in 2017. Then we had the Les Miles come back down 28. I hope we never play Troy again. We should never schedule him. So there you go.
Hey, Bubby.
So there you go. Now, let's take a few extra topics here, maybe away from the LSU defense. We've not talked much about the LSU offense. I think it's going to be a big Emory Jones game. I really do. Let's go to Pegasus. Carter, I know you can't, but if OU offered Stutzman for Hurley, you're talking about in-season trades. I wonder if we ever get to that point, Pegasus. Like, if you can do in-season trades, and what if there was college football trades, and obviously, what's this trade? Denny Stutzman, so you get him for 1 year, okay, because he didn't go to the NFL. And for those who don't know, Denny Stutzman's the best linebacker in the SEC. Would I trade him for Hurley, Relaford, and Sampson? No. I wouldn't. I don't know if I would trade him for Relaford straight up. Like, now, will Relaford be as good as Danny Stutzman? That's going to be really hard because Danny Stutzman's going to be first or second team All-American. But am I trading a quarterback, a good defensive end, and a potential number one or number two receiver for half a season of a senior? No, I don't think I would do that, right? But Danny Stutzman is, of course, a better player than all three of these guys. I'll tell you this, though. Like I said yesterday, I would trade a lot to go get Caleb Downs. I would also say that changes a lot. If I was to do, like, this hypothetical trade, would I do that trade if we're undefeated? It would be a little bit different. Right, if we were undefeated, yeah, I mean, I would seriously consider, like, going, like, really hardcore on trades and stuff like that. But they don't exist, okay? But since you brought it up, I've been getting this question a lot about, you know, Garrett Nussmeier and how the future of LSU's quarterback room will go. I see another question here from Mick. I don't know what Garrett Nussmeier is going to do. And honestly, I don't think nobody really knows. Like, there's just so many freaking dominoes to fall, right? Do I think Nuss comes back as a fifth-year player? Maybe. You know, this is a very ambiguous quarterback class, which has been mentioned ad nauseum. I was big against Shedeur Sanders because of how many sacks he took. But now that I've watched him quite a bit this year, he has looked really freaking good this year. Would I draft him over Garrett Nussmeier? Obviously, I don't think I can objectively do that because of how much, you know, I love the LSU quarterbacks over everybody else. But Shedeur is at this point a guy that, off the field stuff aside, he's a pretty good quarterback. He's going to sell a lot of tickets. Carson Beck also ahead of Nuss. Quinn Ewers is going to be ahead of Nuss. And that's pretty much it. So could he go as a QB4? Yeah, I mean, QBs are going earlier and earlier. There was five in the first 13 picks this past year. So there you go. Now, we'll go to this, and then I'll talk LSU offense versus South Alabama. I've asked this question to a lot of people, but now you're asking me, the foremost number one LSU expert. I'm just kidding. There are plenty of people that know more than me. Okay. But do I think if we had even a tiny above average defense, we win the Natty with Jane last season? I do. I do. I think if we put the 22 LSU defense with last year's offense, I would say Michigan's probably 2.5 point favorite. Georgia's probably 4.5 point favorite. And then obviously, you know, I was really high on Florida State last year. Neutral field, FSU's probably 1.5 point favorite, maybe. I don't know. But we don't play in a world of woulda, coulda, shoulda. Now, I want to talk this LSU offense going up against South Alabama defensively. South Alabama, obviously 2-0 in their last two games. Blowout victories, 87-10, and then what they did versus Appalachian. You know, I wouldn't take too much away from South Alabama having two good defensive days in a row, because it is really hard to play offense when the other team's offense is scoring a bunch of points, right? I've always said that the best defense is a good offense. I truly do believe it in college football. And if you're putting your foot on your throat of the opposing team, obviously South Alabama jumped to a 3-possession lead pretty early in that game. It's really hard to play offense. It really, really, really is. So, you know, I think the South Alabama defense is solid? Yeah, I think they're okay. I've not really watched them as much as I watch their offense. But I don't think they're going to be able to stop Garrett Nussmeier at all with the way the LSU offense is cooking right now. I think this is going to be a big Chris Hilton game. If he's really going to be a factor in this offense, you really want to get him some run before a bye week in the Ole Miss game, okay? So, do I think the LSU offense will be able to get it done? Yes. I'm not worried about them. Obviously, I'm more worried with the other side of the football. LSU special teams has been really good. Do we get our first Xavion touchdown return on kickoff or punt? Maybe we do. I do think one very underrated storyline going into this is, will LSU be able to run the football on South Alabama? They should be able to, okay? One thing that is very interesting when watching South Alabama, like we showed you in the little film review just a minute ago, South Alabama's been doing some stuff we have tried to do, and they have executed it at a higher level with their front than we have, right? And it told me essentially two things. When you're in the running game, the mobility of the quarterback matters so freaking much, especially if you're running out of shotgun. And then the second thing is, even with that said, we should be executing our blocks better. We should be running the football with our running backs better. Okay. So it's very interesting. Yes. And Cam Ward definitely is going to be higher than Garrett Nussmeier on draft boards. I mean, I say definitely, I don't know. Obviously Cam Ward isn't, you know, a dual threat quarterback. He's more of a pocket passer, but he does have a little bit more juice than Garrett Nussmeier. And he's just bigger. You know, Nuss isn't the biggest guy. And that's going to be one thing working against Garrett Nussmeier. Cam Ward is a freaking load. So there you go. Now, coming up next, I have a massive, actually, two massive rants coming up. One is a college football rule change that I have slept on, and I truly do believe it'll make the sport better. Home is where the heart is, and our friends at NOPOD Roofing really takes that to heart. 504-810-8744. Give them a call today for all of your roofing needs. And one of my favorite things about NOPOD Roofing is their versatility. They not only do roofing, they do siding, they do painting, they do tree removal, fencing, anything home improvement. Our friends at NOPOD will get you straight. Give them a call today at 504-810-8744 and let them know PHL and Carter the Power sent you. We never overpromise and always overdeliver with NOPOD, baby. Let's go.
I think joy and happiness and doing things you like is important.
My favorite thing is sports cards. When I'm not on YouTube, I am building my collection. And when I started, I wish there was a sports card strategy show.
He wasn't necessarily going to be a first round pick before all this Heisman buzz. Now they're talking about him being a top five pick.
Paul Hickey and the team at nooffseason.com personally helped build my Jaden Daniels collection, and they're looking to do the same for you. Just check them out on social media or nooffseason.com. Book your 360 spin booth experience today with Zion Imaging. Yes, that's my buddy Jaron Thomas, who started this venture years ago. And look at the smiles on these faces. This state-of-the-art photo booth is so incredible. I work in the wedding and event industry, and anytime I see a 360 photo booth, it takes your event, whether it's a reunion, a wedding, a conference, no matter what it is, it takes it to another level. Give them a follow on Facebook. Book them today. There is a special deal going on now where you can get up to 40% off. This is all the info. Give them a call today, 318-469-4265, or go to Zion Imaging. That's XYANImaging.com. All righty. So, please, if you haven't done so already, please support our partners here on PHL because, well, they put food on my table. Okay. Check out nooffseason.com. Check out NOPOD if you need home improvement, and it's anything, siding, fencing, everything. And of course, if you have an event coming up, book the 360 photo booth anywhere in Louisiana, anywhere basically in Texas, anywhere in Arkansas. Check them out. Zion Imaging, zionimaging.com. Based in Shreveport, Louisiana. Okay. So, a lot of you are familiar with the Bear Alexander story, okay? We played him a few weeks ago with USC, and he has transferred every single season of his career. 2018 in high school, left. Went to 2019, a new school in Texas, left. 2020, new high school. Then IMG Academy. Then Kirby Smart takes him in. He wins a national championship, plays. He still leaves to go to USC. Enters a portal at USC just to return to play three games at USC. He sunk at the depth chart just a little bit, and he decided to quit a USC team with college football playoff implications. Okay? In other words, probably the most selfish, worst teammate you can ask for, Bear Alexander. Okay? Also yesterday, a lot of you saw Michael Allen of UNLV. All right, so everything was, you know, focused on Matthew Sluka, the quarterback. But I thought the more interesting story was the running back who entered the portal. All right, he came over from NC State. They gave him 18 carries. Every single running back on UNLV up to this point has gotten 18 carries. All right, and he ambiguously crushed UNLV. Because he said he entered the portal because promises weren't met. Then he clarified, saying this has nothing to do with NIL. Trashed the school that gave him a chance. And he decided to do the same thing Bear Alexander did, which was self-redshirt himself. This is my rule change. You can only redshirt your freshman season. Because it's getting ridiculous. This is getting ridiculous. You can only redshirt in year one or potentially year two. I'm open to that. I hate these juniors and seniors redshirting, quitting the team 3 to 4 games into the season. That is not the spirit of the rule. Now, I understand a medical redshirt, that's different. Giving a guy an extra year because he tore his ACL, that's different. But y'all, we have got to have a conversation about players quitting and redshirting and keeping their 4 games or under limit. That is not the point of redshirting. It's not. Okay? Normally, when you think of the word redshirt, what class of player do you think of? You think of a freshman, right? He redshirted his freshman season. But redshirting your senior season like Matthew Sluka did? F that. Come on. If you got to play another year of college sports, you should be moving on to something other than sports. Get a job at Enterprise. Okay? You've got to get rid of the junior and senior redshirt stuff. Sophomore season, I can hear that out. Redshirt for injury, I can hear that out. But you're an adult. Most year three players are 21. You're quitting on your team? Another rule would be you can't redshirt at your second collegiate stop. All right, I think that's even crappier. I really do think so. I can understand leaving and transferring to if the first stop didn't work out. But the second school takes a chance on you out of the portal and you still quit on them. All right, which shows you it's simply transactional. The only reason you're quitting the team after getting a ton of playing time is that you suck or you're starting to suck and you're sinking in the depth chart. Y'all, injuries happen. Injuries happen. You can be the guy. You can easily be the guy after a few injuries. So just a rule change. You guys let me know what you guys think about that. I'm tired of it. I'm sick and tired of it. Like, that is not the spirit of college athletics. Being a crappy teammate? Come on. And I've gotten a lot of hate messages for what I said about Matthew Sluka yesterday. Calling me anti-player and all of that. Don't think that's what I said at all. Pegasus says, Carter, what about a personal matter at home? Can you redshirt then? I don't know. But it is rancid. Rancid that anybody could just quit on their team and you benefit. We're incentivizing you putting yourself above the team. You could only redshirt as a freshman or a sophomore. That's my new rule. Take it or leave it. Now, next thing. Next little rant here. Georgia-Alabama. Big game this weekend. Okay? I want to point out, and this is one of the only times where one of my takes has been 1,000% correct. You can go back and look at the PHL podcast feed and listen to all the streams I had leading up to LSU, Alabama in 2022. And I told each and every one of you, if you can go to the game, go. And from that, there were viewers that came together and sent me 50-yard line tickets. Not only did I take those tickets, someone that I met at the game has become one of my closest friends, my man Kevin, who I talk to every single day, okay? And That was the most magical experience I have ever experienced at an LSU football game. I know 2019 Clemson, that's tough to be beat, but I thought going into that game we were going to win. We didn't go into that game as 12-point underdogs like we did versus Bryce Young. And that game knocked a Nick Saban team out of the playoff, which is really hard to do. That was the earliest Nick Saban had ever been knocked out of the playoff. And they still ended up fifth. Okay? Y'all, I said to enjoy it because that was when marquee college football playoff games or regular season games were still playoff games. Okay? Y'all, Alabama can get beat by Georgia this weekend or vice versa. Both of those teams can still lose again and still get into the playoff. Now, am I going to enjoy the expanded playoff? I will. I will enjoy the expanded playoff. Does it allow more seats at the table? Yes. Do I love the group of five aspect of the playoff? Absolutely. I love all those things. I'm not saying that the 12-team playoff is the absolute most evil thing on the planet. But I'm telling you, Alabama, Georgia just doesn't feel the same. Right? And I hate it. I hate it. That was from a tweet from Chris Benini, excuse me. Individual college football games just don't hold the mythical status like they used to. Could just be me getting old, old man yelling at clouds, but enjoy the fact that we had that moment in 2022. Because, yes, so much of that game was about Mason Taylor, Brian Kelly getting his first marquee win and still by far his biggest win at LSU. Nothing comes close to that. And so much about that was about LSU. But to me, it had more to do with Alabama losing, I swear. Because it felt so damn good knocking them out of the playoff. Everybody and their grandma was cheering for LSU that night. That was not an LSU fan. So, I'm still going to enjoy the hell out of Alabama, Georgia this weekend. Kirby Smart, Kalen DeBoer, arguably the two best coaches in the sport right now. It's going to be fun. It's going to be a lot of fun. It's just not going to feel the same. Just not going to feel the same. Now, here's what you're going to do. This is the 1 hour, Thursday, 5 p.m., every Thursday at 5 p.m. edition of PHL Live. In the next 10 to 15 minutes, I'll answer as many questions as we possibly can. If you super chat, we'll keep it going. Okay? We'll keep it freaking going. Okay? If you have any more hypothetical trades, Pegasus, I'll take a look at them. I love it. Now, this is very interesting to me. Remember last week, I said, go hammer UCLA, 23.5. It got down to 21.5. And even though we lost some closing line value, I said, go hammer UCLA. And it panned out. So now, remember last week, UCLA closed as 21.5-point underdogs. You get a South Alabama, 2-2 South Alabama team. So a team worse than UCLA. And the point spread is 20.5. So obviously, 20.5 is a very critical number in college football point spreads. Right? Because 21 is a critical number in college football point differentials. So will LSU win this game by 21 or more? Now, I understand. LSU struggled versus Nickel State. And South Alabama, of these two teams, is the team that has more positive momentum. Right? LSU coming off a weird game versus South Carolina, and then a ho-hum effort versus UCLA, both of which featured weird second halves. LSU a dominant second half. But South Alabama coming off of two sexy wins. They have an elite offense for a group of five school. Going up against a struggling LSU defense, albeit coming off a shutout in the second half versus UCLA. Do you believe South Alabama will cover 20 and a half? So in the chat right now, type S for South Alabama, type L for LSU. Let's take a look at the poll question. South Alabama scores 38.6% of you say that. 25 to 37.30% of you say that. But a whopping 58% of you say the mighty LSU defense will hold South Alabama to 24 or less points. In fact, I misspoke. Two out of every three of you have said LSU will hold South Alabama to 24 points or less. The same South Alabama team that managed to score 87 points in the game. Are you really that confident? I'm just asking. Are you really that confident? Are you sure about that? In the words of Tim Robinson, I don't know if I could be sure about that. I got to be honest. I would like to think the LSU defense could do it. But if I was picking a side, I am going to lean a little bit towards LSU for this reason. Okay? You take a look at all the other games Brian Kelly has coached at LSU versus non-Power 5 teams. He has routinely blown them out. Routinely. Now, some of those teams were just downright awful. And I understand the Nichols game was a Nichols game, but I was heavy on Nichols State as well. Okay? Up to this point, I'm 3-1 picking LSU games against spread. Obviously, I missed the South Carolina game mightily. Okay? I think LSU covers this weekend. I do. Especially getting 20 and a half. LSU wins. Final score, 52 to 21. High scoring game. High scoring game. Let me ask you this. How many of you Hold on. Whoa. Bucky Irving is hurt. Well, why don't you tell me this, Gabe Davis? I'm hurt. Neither team will be affected. Neither. If anything, it helps them, right? Brian Kelly said he would support legislation that prevents kickoff before 6 p.m. in September, like they have in Arizona. But notes, there's nothing on the table at the moment. Man, I just don't know if that's gonna pan out well. Zay Alexander, questionable. Chris Hilton, probable. I don't like getting too deep in the injuries because because it's so fluid, right? Now, on Saturday, look up the Team Corey Cancer Foundation. I am DJing a fun event for the Team Corey Cancer Foundation in South Arkansas. Check it out. All for a good cause. It is the Paint the Town Pink 5K. Okay? So you can run it. Even if you're in North Louisiana, you could run it and drive back. Now, the downside, and actually this is an upside because it is fun as hell, it's not a real competitive 5K. Now, you can run it competitively and try and run your best time. But what they do is they throw paint packets on you. All right? Look it up. It is so cool. And the fact that they ask me to DJ it every year is a blessing. It is literally my favorite annual thing that I DJ every year. Okay? Good family. Learn more. Team Corey Cancer Foundation. That's all you gotta do is Google it and you can register there. Okay? By the way, sign up for the Patreon today. You can, and I'll cover your first month. Okay? Welcome to the channel, Jamal Christian, man. What are we doing in this photo, man? Looks like some fun activities. Welcome, buddy. Getting Tennessee 2022 vibes for the Ole Miss game. Oh, yeah. I don't think this Ole Miss team is as good as that team, though. That team was good. I do think the Ole Miss team is good. The difference is LSU will be coming off a bye and Ole Miss won't be. It's big. Xavier Debo Atkins. I'm going to be interested to see if Devon Keyes gets any run. Oh, is that not you? I don't know. I can't see. I honestly don't. I don't recall this photo. I'd have to screenshot and do a Google reverse image. It kind of looks like Andre Iguodala, the guy to the left. I have no idea though. I mean, the photo is so tiny. Is it Method Man? Is that who that is? I don't know. DJ Preeman and Jay Dilla. Okay, so I myself am a DJ, but I'm not a producer. Okay, but let me know how many of you knew who these legends were. I think he meant to say DJ Premier. Okay, yeah. That rings a bell. Oh. Most Def. Run the Jewels. J. Cole. Kanye. Rakim. Okay. Royce da 5'9". Okay. Preem, okay. And Jay Dilla. All right, who is Jay Dilla produced for? It's from Detroit, underground hip hop. I'm gonna go listen. My favorite rap name of all time is Q-Tip. So I see he was associated with Q-Tip and Fat Cat. I like that. Hip-hop lesson for the day. Let's go.
I definitely don't know as much about music as you do, and as most DJs do. That's always been a weak point. So, okay, they were in a group. I gotcha.
You passed. Oh, God. Let's see. So, yeah, that'll do it for me. Now, don't forget, we'll have a pregame, halftime, and postgame show for Saturday. It is Power Hour LSU. Boom! Don't forget, PHL Patreon, go sign up now. And tonight, oh, we're doing taco soup. Let's go.